This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. Thank you for joining us each and every week. Please subscribe to the podcast of this show, and it will come to you each and every week. You can see all the details at mulliganstew.ca. Details. Let me give you details of this show. We're going to start right off the top with Jason Parks, who there's a couple of things he wanted us to know about. The configuration of the hatch, which is what he started many years ago with his partners. And the hatch begat the Hatching Post and Crown and Thieves and then Truck 59 and then Blackswift Vineyards and then Screaming Frenzy and many other projects, still more to come. It's astonishing how creative that shop has been. But they've decided to call themselves Jason Parks Customs. I'm sure all of his team around him convinced him to do this because he's a quiet guy. He is not a showy guy, even though he is the lead singer of Proper Man, the band that plays in and around the buildings. Anyway, Jason Parks is going to start. He'll explain. And we're going to allow Jason to actually sponsor his own segment. Yes. What goes around comes around. And then segments two and three of this show, it's a great new voice for us. You may have heard her when we did our Okanagan Reconnect, and that's Emily Walker, who I had met when she was the wine director at the Four Seasons in Vancouver, working with Ned Bell. And then when Ned and Kate and their partners purchased the Naramata Inn, the gorgeous historic Naramata Inn, they asked Emily Walker to be their wine director. You have to think about the pressures that go with that room. Every winemaker, every winery of note, every winery that wants to be recognized would want to be on that wine list that Emily makes each and every week. There's a lot of pressure on that position, but she gets to choose the very best, the most interesting wines possible. And that's why I want to talk to her. I wanted her knowledge. She's going to be talking about wines that you and I have never heard about that we want to. So, Emily Walker, for a two-parter, segments two and three. And the final one, we just did it. Mike Narichlo, the co-founder of Emmendaire. It's a family-run business, you know. And he's bringing four wines to taste, four new wines, one of which is gorgeous. It's called Alice. If there is an award show for the best new label in the business, it's the Alice label. It's gorgeous, and so is the wine inside. We're going to taste at the end of the show with Mike Narichlo, his new Pinot, his Alice, his Maréchal and Maréchal Foch, and what he calls his new Beaujolais. This is Tasting Room Radio. Enjoy. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs. They have just opened the Hatching Post Saloon, and it's part of the JPC Trail self-guided tour. More wine, less line. It's got all the fun of a regular tour with a few exclusive perks thrown in. You can roam through a ruined thieves' den in the Broken Hearts Club Saloon with wine and cocktails. You can sip a beer in the Old West Saloon, the Hatching Post, which is now open. You can sit on a hillside and drink a handcrafted cider and wash-down barbecue, all with pre-scheduled tasting times. Details at thehatchwines.com and check out the Facebook page and the Instagram page of Jason Parks Customs. Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio. You can find the details for this show at the Mulligan Stew website. You can also find the podcast. This week, the guest on our Mulligan Stew podcast is Sarah McLaughlin. I have a guy who's not only a winemaker and a leader, but also the lead singer of a band, Proper Man. And he is Jason Parks from The Hatch, but and all the other entities that are under that umbrella. First of all, due diligence, the wonderful Hatch are sponsors of Tasting Room Radio. And I welcomed them a year ago. It was just fantastic. I like these guys. I didn't realize that you were speaking another language, though. You guys don't talk in normal wine tones and terms and references. You're coming from an artistic sort of weird, this is a bad mushroom day kind of thing. And you surround yourself with like-minded people. But that was the idea, right? That was the idea right from the beginning?
Yeah. When I got into wine, it was very grateful. I kind of fell into it. I've told the story before, but I was turning around my punk rock band. The van broke down. I had to get a job, and I was a grade 10 dropout, and I got into the wine thing and loved it very much with all my heart, but had a hard time kind of maybe fitting in with, you know, there's a lot of intelligence in wine, which is great. And I lacked some of that, I guess, and had a different approach to it and wanted it to be more approachable. And lucky for me, 22 years later, I've got a team of people that feel the same way about it and are waving the flag.
But you also wanted your wines to be different. You wanted your wines to say something differently.
Yeah, and that was also, you know, force of the situation is that I was in is I didn't really know what I was doing. So I looked at wine a lot differently than, you know, people that had the education with it, right? Like I didn't get to use a new barrel for the first probably decade, right? So just learning different ways to deal with wine and having a different approach to it was something that was just organic for me, right?
Now, how gobsmacked were you to realize that there were people out there who got what you were doing, who understood what you were saying and what you were making?
Well, I still, I still like don't have the confidence to think that everyone's still even getting it. I think it's something that's new for people when they come to the wineries. It's a new experience. So because of that, they're open-minded to it. But the beautiful thing is more about the team buying into it and having fun and not being scared to express that their selves and what they want to do with how we run the company and the things that we do.
Okay.
That part's really fun.
Would you remind people exactly what is under the Hatch umbrella? Because the Hatch was the starting point, and it was like an umbrella, and then all of a sudden, all of the children showed up. Explain the family.
Yeah, it should have been called, Hatch is the best name, but it should have been called an incubator, because that's what it was. It was a little shed that we slapped together to build brands and to build ideas. And, you know, if those brands and ideas grew, then they would grow to another location, like the Black Swift and the Screaming Frenzy wines, which is also on Boucher Road where our production building is, you know, like Crown and Thieves, that's on my home property. We've got a couple other brands cooking up. And so that little shed, it should have been called an incubator, because it's just a place to build, put brands and art and wine together and try different things. And when they get to a certain level, they fly the coop, so to speak, you know?
That's true. Did you mention in passing the last time we talked about you're opening something in February?
There is the Hatching Post Brewery
trying
to open up on December 17th.
Okay, all right.
But the gas man, I hope he's listening, he's going to be late. And I'm trying to get a hold of them and bribe Fortis with like a bunch of wine and dancing girls or something to maybe make them change their mind, but we'll see. So that's going to be maybe a little bit delayed, but it's a saloon themed brewery with creaky floors and a player piano. And there's going to be we have a couple of food trucks. One of them's called the Smoke Show. It's barbecue. So we're going to have that in there, cafeteria style, old school, you know, weigh the meat, throw it on your plate.
Will it be a sawdust and peanuts on the floor?
We're going to go after that.
Okay.
We like that style of branding.
By the way, you cannot seduce large corporations. Don't you know that? What are you thinking?
Wine's got a lot of power. It's a currency. I've done it before. I'm not going to say any names.
Okay.
Sorry, but I pulled it off before.
Listen, you just went through a bizarre week and a half of events. How many of them do you remember, and how did it all work out?
The last week and a half of events?
Well, I mean, you ended with the comedy show, but before that, you were doing events. Mm.
Yeah, we had a comedy show on the Sunday. The Proper Man, the silly band that I've got in the speakeasy at Crown and Thieves, plays every Saturday. So we've been doing that, and it's usually to wine club members. We kind of open it up to the general public, so that's always a lot of fun. We've got Grayson over at Black Swift, who's just a gem. He's the star of the company as far as like just the personality behind the brands and pouring wines. And he's just a beautiful singer as well. So he, you know, got the guts to get up there and sing with his acoustic guitar and pour his heart out with a bunch of songs. So
Is he a crooner?
I don't know what he is. I don't know what he is. I guess he could be in close to that. He's very, you wouldn't think it. His talking voice and his singing voice are two different things. Very deep, very emotional.
Okay.
Sad. He wears shirts that say sad songs on it. So
okay. In the 50s, there would have been a sort of a cartoon that went with that saying, oh, Madge, he's so dreamy. He's a dreamy, he's a dreamy guy.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
Now, here's the deal. I'm just going into the Instagram here. The Crown and Thieves Cinema Club. What the hell?
Yeah, well, we figured we got some good cocktails down there. The team, Meg, down in the speakeasy there, she's put together some really good cocktails, and we've got Chef James Holmes up top doing, you know, some truffle popcorn and hot dogs and stuff like that. And we are just going to play old school movies down there and get people popcorn, hot dogs, and cocktails and see how it goes.
And how did the comedy night go?
It was so good. I didn't get to go. It was my wife's birthday. It was family time, and I had to cook the barbecue. So well, do well the barbecue.
Done. Well done.
To see people just, you know, really happy and forgetting, you know, like just to get out and do something like that, it feels good to help provide that.
He is Jason Parks from The Hatch and all the other entities that are under that umbrella. Now, up ahead, December, you know, as we get closer to the holidays and the actual end of the year, it becomes a blur. So we're going to give people a heads up here. You mentioned December the 11th. What's going on?
We're going to do a light up thing. We got a pretty good group of maintenance guys that are really obsessed with Christmas. And they're going to just really plaster all the places with lights and get them going. And we're going to get mulled wine and fire pits and more pizzas and hot dogs and all sorts of foods going at each of the locations and just do a light up. And we're going to end it off with a Proper Man Show at Crown. And we're doing tickets for these places. And a large portion of the proceeds are going to go to a charity. We're not sure which one yet. It might be going to Mamas and Mamas or maybe some to them and the Women's Shelter. Getting people to bring in a can of food, you know.
Yes.
So it's all about doing some good for Christmas and having the staff, you know, be proud of doing that and just doing some good stuff for the community.
And that's what I love about you. What's going on at Black Swift?
Black Swift is, well, we got Grayson just, I think he has a couple too many beers sometimes on Fridays. So he's got this thing, I think it's for himself, where there's really yummy breakfast sandwiches Saturday night is the beer night. Sunday morning is the breakfast sandwiches, and we're calling it Church on Sundays.
Church on Sundays, yes, that's right. That's
yeah.
Right.
So you go there, you hang out, you have your breakfast sandwich, and you watch, you listen to Pastor Grayson just sling his wine language around.
What are the hours? Is it 9 to 11, something like that?
No, gosh, he's sleeping until 10:30. It'll open at 11.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
It's a great idea, Sunday morning, great idea. Who else was using it? You know, it's just there, you might as well use it. Okay. Now, how do people such as myself and wine fans, how do they get the information up ahead so that they know what's going on?
We're not going to lie. We don't like, we're trying to get better at providing that stuff. We've got to get our poop together. But if you just go to like the Instagram handles for Black Swift or Crown of Thieves or The Hatch, if you just go into links in the bio, if you click on that, you go to all of our events and you can learn more about us as a company and pick the event that you want to do, send you right to a place to buy tickets. It's all right there. There's even information on our little wine club that we're pushing that people want to learn about it.
Okay, I got one more thing here. I'm talking to Jason Parks from The Hatch. Now, everybody's doing, or not everybody, but a lot of people are doing group gatherings, you know, for the holidays. It's either the company they work for or it's a reunion or whatever. You're doing a thing called a chef's table and a thief's libation. So how does that work?
Yeah, it's just if you want, well, we have private, we're doing private functions for companies as well, which, you know, can get you anything from, you know, Grayson singing to you or burlesque dancers in the speakeasy. So this chef's name is James Holmes, super talented chef. Like he's been featured on the Food Network and stuff like that. So, and we have a room at Crown and Thieves we call the Dimber Damber that, you know, seats about, you know, up to 12 people. And it's just a private meal with him talking. You know, I might come over with my cognac, you know, it's gonna be in the Christmas holidays, so I might come over in a bathrobe, my slippers, God forbid, show up. But just a really, just a more intimate meal with the chef. The chef's name is James Holmes.
Okay, good, I got that. All right, and the band, where the hell's the band? Where's the CD? Will it be out in time for Christmas?
Yes, we're just getting the sleeves done because of our, you know, we're getting a little older, at least I'm in age, so we just had to get a little bit of Photoshop done, so we're a little more attractive on the sleeve. But once we've got that, we're bound for stardom once we get the attractive thing down. That puppy should be out. Hopefully in 2 weeks we'll have that. And you're the first person that's getting one because you've been giving me the nudge for about a year to get it done. So.
Just in time for Christmas. And just when you want to have a vinyl out. There's no vinyl to be had in the world.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we've done a vinyl release, you know, we're on the Spotify and the Apple Music, all that. It's the albums, it's Proper Man, 40 Elephants is the name of the album, if you want to check it out.
Yeah.
Little plug there, little shameless plug, Terry. But yeah, the CD will be out fairly quick, and we'll get it out there.
And finally, where is the Proper Man Christmas single? I haven't received that yet.
I know. We talk about that every year, and then we get too busy just getting into the cocktails and playing these speakeasy shows.
But no, you one do, day we'll do wait it. A minute. You do your Christmas single in June or July and I have know. It ready for October, November.
I know. I'm not known for being organized. It's just what it is.
And finally, Sunday, this Sunday is National Comfort Food Day. I know that would probably come and go in most households, but I'm using it as an excuse to talk about, okay, we've got comfort food. What about comfort wine? What comes to mind when I think the Hatch, any one of the wines that you make, what is the supplies the most comfort?
Yeah, this is not going to be the most romantic answer. I think it's the wines that are the simplest and that are there just to be not really ripped into and geeked out on. They're just the easiest ones to drink. So just like a simple, like a Rosso or a Scoundrel's Punch, you know, from Crown, or a Meritage over at Blacksmith. It's just those simple wines that just are easy to deal with. I don't think there's a Blacksmith Chardonnay. I think you've had that one.
Yes.
That brings you to a nice place.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly that. Yes. And it has been hit and miss, but I'll tell you what, I look forward to each and every bottle that comes out of the rack.
Yeah. Yeah. We do too many Chardonnays and we just geek out too much. So some of them just come out like, you know what, and other ones are great. We just focus on the great ones.
I would highly recommend Winemaker's Wench as well. I know it's really popular.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice, yeah.
I know where my butter is coming from. Jason Parks at the Hatch. Check him out on Instagram. Check out Proper Man. And I'll keep you abreast of these guys as best I can, but they're running at a full gallop. And they haven't slowed down. And winter months are not slow months. Winter months are busy months. Thank you very much for doing this. I appreciate it.
You bet, man. Anytime.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs. It's the home of the Hatch, Hatching Post, Crown and Thieves, Truck 59, Blackswift Vineyards, Screaming Frenzy, and the just opened Last Chance Saloon. All the details at jpcustoms.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Narrabetta Bench. For your planning, wine tastings are closed until March of 2022, and the wine shop hours are daily, 12 noon to 5 p.m. Hillside Bistro will be open March of 2022. All the details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. This is so cool that I have finally gotten back together, reconnected with Emily Walker. You are the wine director at the Narrabetta Inn. For some people out there, they will see you on screen and they will go, oh, I know her from other rooms. I know, where did I see her? Four Seasons. What were the other rooms that you worked in Vancouver?
So prior to the Four Seasons, I was actually on the opening team for the Fairmont Pacific Rim Hotel.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a ride.
Sure.
heading into the Olympics. And prior to that, just sort of some smaller rooms. I was actually part of C and New Restaurants back when.
Now you did something wonderful yourself and that gentleman in the kitchen, Ned Bell. You came and did this reconnect with me at Hillside, and you walked in with two wines that blew my mind. And I have one of them, Jocko.
Oh, the Jocko.
From Echo Bay. It's called Jocko, J-O-C-K-O. And it got me to thinking, what else does she know? How many other different wines has she got underneath the table that I don't know? That's why I thought maybe I'd just ask you to extend that conversation that we had. And you immediately came up with a list, Lightning Rock, Kulshana, Scout Vineyards, Nickel, Fox and Archer. Why these?
Nickel is, of course, very well known and a pioneer on the Narrabetta bench. So for that one, it was kind of more about the grape varieties. We can talk about that. But I brought their Saint Laurent out, which is one that, you know, I think a lot of nickel lovers are maybe unaware that this wine exists. So, you know, just kind of digging for those little gems that that we tend to have kind of more access to maybe when we're right in the region.
And what we know about nickel is that they were the first to plant Syrah in Canada. And I'm amazed to discover in doing my homework that they were the first to plant St. Laurent.
They were, exactly. And it was funny, I was talking to Ross Hackworth, the owner and winemaker, recently, and about the St. Laurent, and he was very, very close to pulling those vines out when he first took it over.
Yeah, man.
And I think, I wish I could remember, I think though it was John Schreiner who said, do not do that. These are special vines. And he convinced him to leave them. And now he's, you know, of course, very glad that he did. You know, it is just about three rows of these vines. And, you know, so it does tend to be mostly a wine club exclusive, but we got our hands on a bit of it to pour by the glass at the inn. It just, this wine to me really evokes that feeling of fall and, you know, sort of cozy winter evenings.
It's a medium red. It's not the big banging red. It's a, what family does it belong to?
It is a derivative of Pinot Noir.
Okay.
So we know that Pinot Noir is involved, but we don't know who the father is.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's been some different speculation. But it does have some Pinot Noir-like characteristics to it. It has that kind of red, that bright red cherry profile. The acidity is quite high. It does have some structure, tannic structure in this wine.
Yeah.
But the tannins are soft and approachable for the most part. And, you know, I describe this red as being almost sort of crunchy. And I think just because the acidity is so, so intense. And so it really does want to be paired with something, you know, with a protein, you know, I think of like roasted duck and, you know, maybe like.
All right. Yeah. On the nose, blueberry and cassis, neutral French oak, barrique, unfined and unfiltered. Well done. Well done. I had a price of $39. Does that make sense? Any price that you and I come up with is in the area. It's roughly that price.
Yeah, I think I had 35 noted, but 30, it could be somewhere in between there.
And how many cases does three rows of vineyards give us?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know exactly on this wine how many they've made. We'll have to find that out.
But you know, it does point, Emily, it does point something out, and that is that you are in a unique position. I'm not telling you something you don't already know. You're at the Naramata Inn. You're surrounded by vineyards as far as the eye can see.
Yeah.
And they know that you have the smarts to understand what they're up to, and they would like your approval, the approval being, of course, if you're served in the room. It's so cool that you finally get to a spot that where you have everything. You've got everything to choose from, all of these choices out there.
It is, yeah. No, it's truly a dream gig in terms of curating a list and just having the access to speak to and learn from all of these people as well. I definitely really try to take advantage of that and give our guests as much access to, you know, winemakers and the proximity that we have as well. So it's very cool.
She is Emily Walker. She's the wine director at the Naramata Inn, along with Chef Ned Bell and a great team led by Kate. I mean, it's an astonishing place. If you ever wanted a destination, make your plans now, because come summertime, the lineup goes around the block and up the hill by the pizza place. Lightning Rock, Rosé Petnat. First of all, Lightning Rock itself is an amazing small winery that you want to keep an eye on.
It is. So this is a Summerland winery. I actually live just down the road and around the corner from these guys. So they've become, you know, sort of family friends and good people to know. But yeah, Tyler and Jordan, they're a husband and wife team. Tyler is, you know, really involved with the farming side of things. I mean, they both do everything. They're both in the vineyard and in the winery.
Yeah, that's right.
But he's very passionate. You know, he loves his compost pile. He, you know, he's walking barefoot through the vineyards. he's an awesome guy, very passionate. And Jordan has a strong background in sparkling wine production. Ran the program at Okanagan Crush Pad for about 7 years before starting Lightning Rock.
Do you have to explain still at the tables about Pet Nat?
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of people understand the difference between a traditional method sparkling and Pet Nat, but yeah, I mean it's definitely something that many people don't know. Pet Nat Ancestral, it has different names as well, which makes it even more confusing. But yeah, really it's the difference between you know, having one fermentation and two.
And the one and two, the difference is, of course, with the one, there's no sugar and no yeast.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. And all of, exactly. So they're not having to add in yeast and sugar to kick off a second ferment.
And it's how they used to make wine historically.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Hence the name, Method Ancestral. It really suits, you know, I think it suits the style of winemaking that Tyler and Jordan like to pursue. And they talk about how they make electric wines. there is a Lightning Rock on the property in their estate vineyard. They call it Elysia. And there's a big boulder that you can see. The top half of it is just sort of resting on the boulder. And it looks like it's just been sliced right off. You know, it's believed that it was struck by lightning. So that's the Lightning Rock.
It's a marketing ploy. Like there's no falls at Okanagan
Come
Falls.
Come on, they dried up years ago. Be romantic. Come on.
At the tables, do people want to know why the wines are cloudy?
Less so. Yeah. Definitely. Okay. I'm having to have that conversation less and less. And we've taken some risks with it. You know, with the program here, you know, pouring Lochinworth Chardonnay through the summer, very cloudy, big, you know, lots of sediment at the bottom, not your conventional typical style of Chardonnay either.
Yeah.
And people have embraced it and like it for how different it is.
They also do a Viognier, do they not?
Over at Lightning Rock. Yes, yeah. They do actually. Yeah. The Viognier, and not a typical Viognier either. You know, in that Viognier is it's a later ripening grape. It needs heat. I mean, think of it in, you know, in the Rhone Valley in France, right? It's something that I think we see planted more often in the south end of the Okanagan. And so to find Viognier planted in Summerland, it's, you know, it's being picked earlier. The acidity is much higher. And so again, it falls in line with that electric wine, sort of tagline that they use in that it's a very bright, racy expression of Viognier. So quite different, really now, delicious.
Emily, we set up your camera and everything and all that stuff. And I forgot to ask you to show me the bottles. Can you show us the Nicolas Saint Laurent?
Okay. So here's the Saint Laurent, and this is the 2018 vintage. Okay. That I have.
All right. And the Lightning Rock Rosé Pet Nat 2020. Yes.
2021.
So all right.
This
Wonderful.
Was only just released.
Okay.
Just released. It's 100% Pinot Noir from their two vineyards, Elysia and Canyon View. Foot trodden, as many of their wines are, and then pressed off gently into a large oak barrel. They ferment just the one fermentation and then into bottle. So consumed.
I see a price of $29. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay. She's Emily Walker. Yes. She's the wine director at the Naramata Inn. I'm thrilled to have her here. There are very few wineries more awarded than Kulshana. They get people's attention.
It's a distinctive. It's one that many people, they discover it here at the inn and they say, well, where's the tasting room? And well, they don't have one. It's a vineyard that's about 7 kilometers north of where we are here in the village. So it's kind of deep, deep into the Naramata Bench as far as location goes.
It's one of those places that Pedro Pera dug into the soil with the backhoes and shovels and things. Mm. And then everybody left him alone, and 2 days later he came out of the hole and proclaimed something magical about this spot.
Yeah, that's true. Well, he was quite excited by the level of calcium carbonate that is, you know, sort of coating the rocks that needed to be extracted from the site in order to plant. It's a very, very rocky site. And so it was not an easy one to plant. You can see a lot of those big boulders that were removed from the ground still kind of sitting up above ground on the property now. And you can see this sort of white coating on them. And that is essentially limestone.
And it sounds like a Meursault. It sounds like a whole nother part mm-hmm. of the planet.
Exactly. I mean, it's a very dear friend of Chardonnay. It's a very elegant Chardonnay. And I think that they are doing a really, really outstanding job of picking at different times for balance. They're using a mix of some concrete, some neutral wood, some new wood, some stainless. They've really kind of honed in on the art of blending.
You really have to know what you're doing to find that balance to make a wine this good.
Oh, definitely. One of the things that I love about it as well is this wine to me is all about texture. And, you know, so, and when I talk about elegance, it's, you know, yes, there is some indication of oak presence in the wine, but it's much more from a textural standpoint.
It's really good. It's kind of cool.
It's
thing
beautiful.
They make a lot of it.
They're not trying to make something for everyone. They really are kind of going all in on just these two great varieties.
If we happen to find that Chardonnay, what do you think it's going to cost us?
This is the other thing. It's really good value. This is a 2025.
No.
20. Yeah, it is. It's an outstanding price. And I should double check that because, you know, maybe it's a little bit, maybe the recent vintage, because I've actually still got a fair bit of the 2016 on my hands. So let's fact check me on that and make sure that it's not a bit higher. But honestly, even, you know, for a wine of this quality in around the $30 price point,
that's got nutmeg and caramel on the nose and texture in the mouth, is just going to sell like crazy, and maybe even be classified as one of those wonderful winter whites.
Definitely. Yeah. Excellent winter white. Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here because I can't read my writing and I got to go do my notes. I have to be up to speed with Emily because she knows what she's talking about, as you can tell. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We'll be right back talking about Scout Vineyards. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Narrabetta Bench. For your planning, wine tastings are closed until March of 2022, and the wine shop hours are daily, 12 noon to 5 p.m. Hillside Bistro will be open March of 2022. All the details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Narrabetta Bench. For your planning, wine tastings are closed until March of 2022, and the wine shop hours are daily, 12 noon to 5 p.m. Hillside Bistro will be open March of 2022. All the details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. Welcome back, Tasting Room Radio. T.D. Mulligan, Emily Walker is the wine director at Narrabetta Inn. It's a prime plum position, friends. You're working with one of the best chefs in the country. You're working at a location that's a heritage run by Kate and her team. It's a fantastic destination. And she gets to be the wine director. And she is surrounded by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of wineries and has her choice of whatever she wants to pour. Her wine list, you should check it out. Is Scout Vineyards on that wine list? Were you able to get your hands on some?
So it's one of those wines that it comes and then it goes very quickly. Mm-hmm. So I don't have any on the list right now because we sold out of the last of the Syrah and Riesling that we had about 2 months ago. But I just got a exciting email from Carly at Scout just 2 days ago saying we're releasing some wine and we wanted to let you know before it all gets shipped off to Vancouver. So I have some coming. The 2020 vintage of their Riesling and Syrah are going to be on the way very soon.
Okay. It's the Syrah you wanted to talk about. There were shots of on their website, Georgian clay vessels. Is that Syrah coming from clay vessels?
It is, yeah. Wow. So this Syrah is fermented in Quevri. A little bit different to amphora. It's they're, I think, quite large in comparison. And traditionally these, you know, whereas amphora were designed for transporting wine, the Quevri were not. They're traditionally buried underground. So sort of an early early invention of refrigeration.
Yeah. Well, it worked for them. You can tell they're very different in their approach. Spontaneous ferments, uninhibited mellow, unfined, unfiltered, and celebrating it as they go. Very complex, very layered, very unpolished and wild. Love it.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, they're really taking a holistic approach to farming and to winemaking. You know, when you visit Scout, you'll notice that the vineyards are, they're not manicured. You know, there's a wildness to the way that they farm. And that's really, you know, them trying to encourage biodiversity within the vineyard, encourage, you know, a lot of microbial activity and healthy fungus in the soil that all lends to, you know, really complex and interesting ferments.
So now I know I've watched you work that room, and you only get maybe 30 seconds in a busy room, a noisy room, to explain a wine to somebody. What would you tell them about, what would you say to, about Scout? Are you just saying, trust me on this, try this Syrah? What do you do?
You know, I definitely, with a wine like Scout, I mean, it's so unique, and there's so many talking points. I tend to, you know, I tend to always, though, bring the focus back to the actual style of the wine, right? Because, I mean, the storytelling is one of my favorite parts, but I like to talk about, you know, just sort of the purity of fruit, and that I think that's really what they go for is trying to have that bright, fresh profile. And that's what I love about the Scout, is because it's quite different than I think some of the really deep, dark, brooding, very, very ripe Syrahs that we get from the South Okanagan. This has innate freshness to it that, you know, I think is partly due to the way it's been raised in Quevri. Maybe it's to do with the yeast that they have, but you know, it's a delicious, bright.
Do you happen to know what that innate freshness costs?
That one is around the $35 mark as well.
And is it a chase? Did they make quite a bit of it?
They do not. No, I think that there's probably about 100 cases.
Yeah. Okay. In 10 minutes. I got 10 minutes with it. Can you show me the Scout Vineyards bottle? Have you got it handy there?
I don't have the bottle on that one, Terry, because it says,
I mean, you can't miss it. It says Scout. That's basically all it says on the label.
Exactly. It's usually kind of some beautiful solid color in the background and then Scout across the label. But yeah, it's not released until the 3rd. So
how about the Kulshana bottle? Have you got it there?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you'll see this one. You can't miss this one. Talk about a meeting place. Thank you very much, Emily. Now, here's one I couldn't get a fix on. And I told you this. Fox and Archer in Naramata making Pinot Noir.
So Fox and Archer is one that I actually just discovered last year. And it was because the winemaker and his family were having dinner in our restaurant. And I was, funnily enough, selling them on a bottle of Scout Syrah. And I was talking to them about the wine, and I could just tell in the way that the winemaker was speaking to me, not in a ego driven way, but just that he knew what he was talking about. And so I was like, you're in the industry, you're a winemaker, or, you know, who are you? And he said, well, you know, in a very modest way, I'm Tyson Archer. I had this little brand, you know, you've probably never heard of it. It's called Fox and Archer. And anyways, I mean, it turns out he's a dear friend of a few of our staff members that work here. And he's very, you know, they're very kind of loved in the community. And so, you know, we tasted the wine. The next day he came and dropped off three different Pinot Noirs. And, you know, I had no expectations, but was immediately just wowed and really excited that I discovered something new and kind of the way that it was discovered. So Tyson is the winemaker, but his wife, Diane Fox, is, you know, a Penticton native, and her family are quite involved in the real estate market here. So Fox and Fox, I think, is the name of their okay. their real estate outfit. This property has been in their family for a number of years. Nice. It's about a 9-acre vineyard, wow. and it's the highest elevation vineyard along the Naramata Bench at about 550 meters, and it's just up behind hillside.
Wow. I lived in the Naramata Bench, and I could see on my walks, I could see faded attempts at growing at altitude above Naramata. You could see that people tried and then just abandoned it. I think we know better now. I think we know how to grow up there now and what wants to grow up there now. So it's nice to know that Pinot's up there. I saw two Pinots listed on their website. One was Creekside. The other was Three Blocks. Which one are you pouring?
So the one that I'm pouring is the Creekside.
Okay.
And this is a dried up creek bed that runs through this particular portion of the vineyard. So they've made three Pinots, actually. So Tyson has really put a focus on Pinot Noir. They have Malbec planted on the site as well. You know, again, kind of like Kulshana, there's no tasting room. Not yet. I think that they have plans to maybe start one. You know, it's very, very rustic. Like it's talk about garage yeast winemaking. This truly is an Okanagan garage yeast winery.
That endears me by itself. So the Creekside Pinot Noir, did they make much of it?
You know, I want to say probably about 200 cases of it.
Okay.
All right. So not a lot.
Could we, the great unwashed, find it somewhere somehow? Or do we have to
you
come
can I have seen it. I can't tell you whether or not you'd find it on the coast or in Vancouver. I know that there's a couple of spots kind of locally here in Penticton, smaller LRSs that have it. It is sold out at the winery at the vintage that we have, which is the 2018. But I do believe that Tyson has the 2019 released and it is available. One of the things that does strike me about this wine, again, is the value. It's incredible value. It's, you know, these wines are around the $25 mark.
Okay. What's your website? How do people find you?
Oh gosh. I don't have a website.
Do you have an Instagram account?
You can find me on Instagram. I'm at Hints of Hawthorne, or you can come and see me at the inn.
Yeah. Thank you for doing this. I hope you like the exercise.
Oh, I love it. Thank you. It's such a pleasure. Always.
She is Emily Walker. She is the wine director at the Naramata Inn. That was the first edition of Emily's List or something. If you can come up with a better name, please tell me. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. For your planning, wine tastings are closed until March of 2022, and the wine shop hours are daily, 12 noon to 5 p.m. Hillside Bistro will be open March of 2022. All the details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. Just a heads up on the winter hours at Moon Cursor, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday to April the 13th. During the 2021 winter season, they offer two tasting experiences by appointment, guided wine tasting, and a private winemaker tour and tasting. All the details at mooncursor.com. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We have an old friend returning to the show to wrap things up. Mike Norislo from M&Dare has come by on a absolutely skunky, awful day. in the cottage to pour some wines for us, the latest wines from Emmendaere. The growing year, Mike, first of all, how did you guys survive it? How did you as a family survive the year, and how did the vineyards do?
Great question. Thanks for having me on again, Terry. It's always a pleasure to see you, even on a very wet day here in the Neuse Bay. The growing season, 2021, quite the season. I guess we're kind of on, I guess, the latter half of COVID. And as a family, we're just kind of stuck on our little family farm there. So that's lovely. The girls are growing up, and we're really getting Emmendaere as a brand pretty dialed in and pretty efficient now, which is nice. It takes care of giving us a nice place to live. As far as the growing season, we all remember that crazy hot spell in the middle of June this year. Oh my goodness, that was something else. Honestly, I get asked this question probably 3 or 4 times a day from anybody in the industry. How did the heat affect your vines? And I don't know about the rest of BC, but I know in the Cowichan Valley, that timing of that heat was right during fruit set. And I think every berry that could have set, especially in our premium grapes, whereas they just set, and the vineyard thrived. It was happy. It was healthy. It was a beautiful year. So another slightly cooler vintage outside of that crazy hot spell in the middle of the year, which are some of my favorite vintages for the Cowichan. Similar to 2020, I actually think this year reminds me a bit of 2017 as well, which again, that's where you get that elegance and complexity in the wines.
Smaller tonnage, smaller production?
Yeah, smaller production. Here's an interesting, I'll farm nerd for you for a second. Smaller production, if we all remember last year's June was wet and cold, which gave us kind of BC as a whole, a slightly smaller production, but very high quality. This year, grapevines get a signal as far as how much fruit they're going to produce from the previous June. Mm-hmm. So this following June, or this following year, 2021, crop was down a bit, but not as much as it was in 2020. But again, really good quality. It's that constant compromise.
Your other Mike, Rathjen, has nailed a platinum on behalf of the entire Cowichan Valley. It's a big deal.
Oh man, it's a huge deal. I'm so proud of him. I mean, he's my brother-in-law. We're tight as brothers. We're close friends and family. And to see that under his belt, not just for, of course, Rathjen Cellars, and to show off the talent that Mike Rathjen has as a winemaker in the details of what he produces. But I believe, now correct me if I'm wrong, someone out there, I believe this is the first platinum medal that Vancouver Island has received as a whole too. So that's huge for us, especially this timing in the industry where the trajectory is just straight up. It's just another notch up for
us. It's another indication that things are happening here.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Get in on it. You brought 4 of your releases coming up, and you start with Alice, which is an absolutely gorgeous bottle of bubble. The color is almost Tavel like. It's not that light opaque Provence. What were you headed for?
Oh, exactly what you're seeing, Terry. It's 100% Pinot Noir. Alice, of course, named after my second baby girl. Beautiful little girl. And the back of the bottle says full of life, as is she. That's why we wanted to go with some bubbles. Going for that kind of, that almost, I was shooting for Barbie pink was what I was shooting for. It's named after a little girl. But I wanted to go full on traditional method and put as much effort and energy as I possibly could into this wine. And I couldn't be happier with the outcome.
How much did you make?
Made 65 cases, small run. And just like when I made wine for Clara Black in 2017, everyone's like, oh, are you going to keep making this every year? I'm like, no, I only made one of her. So this is her special wine. We'll save a whole bunch back for her when she comes of age. And I look forward to these special wines for my girls.
What's the price point on the Alice?
$40.
All right. And again, how many cases?
65 cases.
Ah, man. Come on.
I think there's 30 left.
Come on.
Yeah, it's
already. Okay, fine. All right, fine. It's called the Alice from Emmendaere. The Pinot Noir, these are the vines that you bought. These are the vines that caused you to buy this piece of land because they were already in the ground. The 2020, are these new plantings or the old?
Oh, this is still my old plantings. This is our 2020 from the original planting on the vineyard. So they're about 22-year-old vines now. And that block of Pinot just does something so special for us. And 2020, it was a special vintage. Again, my Pinot production was quite low in 2020. There's less berries per cluster, but gave the plants the ability to ripen each individual berry. What was special about 2020, especially Pinot though, is we don't remember 2020 because COVID was such a big thing and it was a distraction, but we had a beautiful spring and a long fall. The rains seemed like they were never going to start. So we got that extra hang time out of our fruit, giving us so much flavor development. So 2020 Pinot is a stunning, stunning wine.
He said pouring the wonderful Pinot 2020. How many cases?
Our standard Pinot production is around 150 cases.
Any new plantings?
Yeah. Well, we probably talked about this last time I was on the show, but we tore out about 2 acres of the property a number of years ago to plant more Pinot and Sauvignon Blanc. And Sauvignon Blanc started coming online this year, a little bit off that block, and Pinot's still another couple years out before we see that one come online.
What did you take out?
What did we take out? It's funny. It doubled up from last year. So last year I got 26 pounds off of it. I think this year we broke 100 pounds. It's a brand new block. It's got a little ways to go. I'm dropping as much fruit as I can to get those vines established.
2020 Pinot Noir from Emmendaire, which said, and Mike, you said straight up, we're going to be a Pinot place first and everything else will follow. You must be happy. Your heart must be happy.
Oh man, my heart is happy for sure. I mean, it's hard to talk about Pinot on the island without the audacity of Andy Johnson back in the day at Avril Creek, just saying the quality of Pinot that he believes will make on the island. And I think his prophetic words are coming to life. We'll put it that way. I was out there.
And he'd tell anybody who'd listen.
He'd tell everyone.
Even if they weren't listening.
Even if they wouldn't listen. But that's why we all love him. And he pushed it forward. And I was at their 20th year legacy anniversary dinner the other day. And they were pulling out some old stuff. And my goodness. The Pinot Noirs and the Pinot Gris that we're tasting from Avril from that are getting up there in age. Something special.
Is this released now?
Yes. All the wines that we're tasting today were just released last week.
What's the price point on the 2020 Pinot from Emmendaire?
It is $45, all included.
Okay. We move on to the Maréchal Cabernet Fauche. Explain both of these as you would over, say, a tasting bar. What people are going to put in your mouth.
Okay, so the Maréchal Cabernet Fauche, it's a blend of two hybrid grape varieties, Maréchal Fauche, an older hybrid grape variety, Cabernet Fauche, a new experimental one. Honestly, the simplest way I put this at the tasting bar is this is your big, bold, round, seductive red wine that just draws you in. And what I adore about this wine as a winemaker is on the nose, it gives you all the things you're looking for. It's those violets, those black currants, those black cherry, blackberry. But the palate, similar to Northern Tuscany, is juicy and elevated and lifted from that acidity we have.
And for those people who will ask this question across that tasting counter, they will say, well, what's it like? I don't know those varietals, so what is it like? What do you compare it to?
That's a great question. I mean, I think I just said it similarly. I think this wine... Those varietals don't often taste like necessarily what this wine tastes like. But when we produce this one, this reminds me again, this is Northern Italy or this is Southern Rhone. You even get kind of that tobacco leaf meets kind of that savory cured meat, that salinity or kind of that salty edge to it. It's a very unique wine, very sought after wine. I launched it last week. I think I have 6 cases left.
What's the blend is 50-50, 60-40?
No, it's 80-20.
Did you make a lot of it?
Yeah, this is a fairly large production for it. Large production for Emmendaire anyway, as a tiny little cute winery we are. I think this is a couple hundred cases.
Price point?
Price point is $35 all in.
I'm thinking winter stews, heavy soups, roasts, ribs, all that stuff.
Yeah, totally. Exactly. It's just pizza. Pizza, anything that's... Like I said, this is the wine that people... I love that we release it this time of year. It comes out when you're seeking all those comfort foods. Stews, lamb, man, have it with your Christmas dinner. What I love with the acidity of wines like this, though, too, is you can still have it with your chicken or your fish as well. Just season them up really good.
What's your fourth?
Fourth wine is our Farm Fresh Fauche. This is our little salute to Beaujolais Nouveau. We made it for the first time last year in 2020. 2021, this is a 7-week-old wine. 100% whole bunch carbonic maceration, and it is Beaujolais Nouveau to a T.
Where did the idea come from?
The idea came from tasting. So the way I make wine, I think is much the way a chef who likes to deal with fresh produce makes food. You taste the food. And you steward it into what it already tastes like. That's you just elevate it. And when I tasted the fruit that went into this wine, I mean, this has this bright floral, raspberry, strawberry juiciness. I'm not going to try to turn this into something it's not. Let's use techniques that elevate those fruit flavors, those floral tones.
I asked you when you sat down with your Farm Fresh Fauche The restaurants are going to like this.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty excited about this wine. It goes down a little bit too easy. Carries that bright and soft acidity that we get so well here on Vancouver Island. Already, this is flying out the door to restaurants. Shameless little plug, new one that just opened in Victoria, Eva Schnitzel House. Look them up on Instagram. They are killing it down there. Chef Max is amazing. Kaylin is killing it with the wine list. And they're going through buckets of this wine already. And this just tastes like something you'd have with schnitzel.
Can we get possibly one of, I'm self-serving here. Can we possibly might get one of these wines at Bridgman's in Mill Bay, just so we could go down the hill and try some?
Tell you what, when you're in Mill Bay, you walk down to Bridgman's and you insist. And they better give me a call.
Well, this is fantastic. Is there anything left over from last year?
A little bit, yeah. If you check our website, you can see some of our rosé and a little bit of our Gewürztraminer left from last year. But it's getting slimmer and fewer and far between as to how long you're able to get your hands on our wines.
You want to explain the From the Valley concept?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned a few minutes ago, we tore out a couple acres of our vineyard to plant more of our more popular varieties. As everyone knows, it takes 5-ish years to see a reasonable amount of fruit come off your vines. To mitigate that, I contacted a couple local growers in our area who are within a mile of us and said, can I get a little bit of fruit off you guys to top up our production? And they're like, of course you can. So our From the Valley line is exactly that. It's okay. Compensating for what we're missing off our own property, but it's also become so popular. It's also my second label for as a winemaker to really play. And I really like playing and learning and experimenting more. And it's a fun place to do that.
Are we going to see a pet hat from you?
Good question. I can't. I'm going to answer that the same way.
Are we going to see concrete from you?
You might see concrete. Well, you might see vessels. Concrete. If you see concrete, I'll pour it myself with sand and clay from the region.
Yeah.
That's what I'll do. I'm not buying any fancy things.
Yeah.
The eggs and stuff are super cool. I love them. But I don't know. I'm going to continue to work with the vessels that best facilitate the wine I'm making. I'm not going to do it because it's trendy or cool. I'm going to do it to make the best wine I possibly can.
So, Mike, of these wines, the Alice, the 2020 Pinot Noir, the Emmendaire 2020 Marshall and Cabernet Foch, or the Farm Fresh Foch, which one will sell her best? Will Alice get any better than it is now? And what about the blend? What about the Pinot?
Great question. So Farm Fresh Foch, that is made to drink right now. Yeah. Alice is going to elegantly age as Bubbles does. And as a youthful wine right now, it's bright and juicy just like she is. Most sellable in the lineup, head and shoulders above the rest, is 2020 Pinot Noir. It might be my most sellable Pinot that we've produced to date. That longevity of phenolic ripeness gave that beautiful ripe tannins and acidity and all the other building blocks for it to stand the test of time. And I honestly believe Couch and Pinot Noir is like a 15 to 25 year sellable wine. They will just keep going. And 10 years isn't even doing them justice. You got to give them a little longer than that. Marechal Cabernet Foch, I think that's like a max 10 year sellable wine.
When you did that tasting over at Avril Creek the other day in that celebration, how old was their Pinot?
What did we taste? I think the oldest Pinot we did there, we didn't go too far back. I think we tasted an 06 Pinot, but it was just like, I think it was an 06 and an 09 and possibly 18. And it was just bright. It was bright and fresh still. It was like, well, see you in 10 more years.
Last question. What's 22 going to be like for you and the Valley?
You know what? I think the growing anticipation of being a producer in the Cowichan Valley, every producer, if you sit down with any of us, we're all enthusiastic and excited about the direction of Cowichan Valley, Vancouver Island wine as a whole, and just how popular it is, how sought after all of our wines are, and how much fun it is for us to produce. So I think that 2020 is going to be another step forward.
But everybody had to shut down. We all had to lock down. So will it be almost business as usual?
I think so. Yeah, I think there'll be standard protocols in place as necessary in your wine shops. But I mean, if it was any indication, this year was busy too. Even though people were shutting down, this year was busy too.
What's your website?
Emmendairevineyard.com.
Thanks for wrapping up the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Terry. It's always good to see you.
Well done on your pours. And say hello to Alice.
Oh, I will. Give her a big hug and a kiss.
Mike Norichlow from Emmendaire. This is Tasting Room Radio. In the cottage, I'm Terry David Mulligan. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. Just a heads up on the winter hours at Moon Cursor, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Monday to Friday, to April the 13th. During the 2021 winter season, they offer two tasting experiences by appointment, guided wine tasting, and a private winemaker tour and tasting. All the details at mooncursor.com. And from everyone at Mooncursor Winery in Osoyoos, they wish you the best of 2022.